everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy on the other side of the glass, Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. It was so good to get some rain. And Tom, when all the numbers, when all was said and done, looked like about quarter of an inch at the airport, up in the lower foothills area where the Buckmasters reside, I kind of go by how much water was in the kind of in the dumpster. On the roof of the dumpster. And yeah, I think maybe it was a quarter of an inch, but I'll tell you, it doesn't take much. The desert was so parched. Things are looking good, and the air quality is probably the best it's been in 6 months. I mean, it really, the air feels fresh. So it was good to get that rain.
Well, absolutely. Even though we didn't get to the half to three-quarter of an inch prediction, we'll take what we got.
We will. Anyway, it is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, Friday, December 11th. Guess what, gang? Christmas is 2 weeks from today. Here we are on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening and podcasts of my program at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Friday, we like to do a shout out to our media friends. These are people who prominently display the Buckmaster Show logo on their websites. Dylan Smith over at TucsonSentinel.com has been a great friend of our show as we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary of the program on January the 4th. Dan Shear has been with us since day one at the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Thank you, Dan, for your support.
Sure.
And then, of course, we have Tucson Local Media Group, Jim Ninsel with the Tucson Weekly. Their group includes Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. With me in studio today, our Friday Focus interview, Pima County Sheriff-elect Chris Nanos. Chris, good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Chris, a Democrat who defeated Republican incumbent Mark Napier 4 years ago. Sheriff Napier defeated then Sheriff Nanos, musical chairs here, in his bid to win election after being appointed to the top Pima County law enforcement position when longtime Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik retired in 2015. Dan Shear is with me in studio, along with his duties at Green Valley and at the Saharita Sun. Dan is the editorial director for two dozen newspapers owned by Sierra Vista-based WIC Publications. So Dan's very busy. Hasn't been doing a lot of traveling because of COVID, but pretty soon he'll be hitting the road to places like North Dakota. You have a paper up in Minot, is that correct or no?
No, it's in Williston.
Williston, yeah, up near the Canadian border.
Right.
Isn't that the big boom town with all the oil going?
Yes.
Where a McDonald's costs you $10 or something.
But if you work there, you get paid $25.
Yeah.
So, that's Williston, and it's boom and bust.
Wow. All right, Sheriff Napier has gone. We have Sheriff-elect Nanos with us. Congratulations, Chris.
Thank you.
How's it feeling now? And what do you attribute the victory to? There was a huge landslide, pretty much landslide, in Pima County for the Democrats.
Well,
let me put it this way, Chris. What was kind of the issue, do you think, that resonated in your campaign with the voters? That they wanted a change and reform.
I think change was a big issue. I think there were a number of things happening that I think worked in my favor. One, of course, was the presidential election. Tucson is, as we all know, is a strong Democrat community, and that Democrat Party went out and pushed to get people registered, and so that had a big impact. For me personally, though, I think it was. The department wanted change, and they asked me to step up and run. And I think people recognized that our agency, our deputies, our corrections, our civilian staff is very well supported by this community. And I think that when they say, hey, we're not satisfied with the leadership, I think our community listens.
Let me ask you, before I throw it over to Dan Shear, the manpower, your men and women of the Sheriff's Department, Are the numbers a bit troubling to you as you look over them as far as staff?
Well, you know, I don't want to go back into
the
campaign.
On where we should be for this department.
Exactly. Yeah. I've not been in that chair, and you'll really never know exactly those numbers until you're there.
When you will be there, by the way, January 1.
Yes, okay. January 1st, I take office. And so I'm just kind of hearing a number of different numbers being reported to me that are concerning to me.
Tell me.
That the corrections and deputy side are down almost 100 in the last 4 years from when I left to today. They're 200 bodies short. 100
really?
In the CO
200?
Side and 100 in the deputy side. Now, that's what I'm hearing, and I don't know that. If that's the case, that's a pretty big decrease of about 20-some percent. So, I want to get in there, look at those things. You know, I'm coming in this with my eyes and ears open. It will be, for me, a listening campaign for the first few weeks to hear the concerns, not just, you know, we talk about reform and the community desires, and I'll be addressing those, but I also have to first look at my own department internally and what's going on there. And so I'll go in and hopefully on the first be able to look at these numbers and have a better feel for what's going on.
Well, Dan Scheer, are you as surprised as I am to hear that right now?
Yeah, and I think the interesting question would be, why? Is it just a recruiting issue? Was it a budget issue? What was it? I guess we'll find out, and we're going to ask you.
Absolutely. I wish I had those answers for you. I would tell you that it's probably a combination of all of that, Let's wait till the first and look at the numbers, and then we'll know. We'll have a better idea.
Well, a new leader often means leadership changes. What is the top of the department going to look like here and over the next few months? What changes are you making?
Well, I don't plan to make any changes as far as the top goes. Naturally, I will come in with my own team of chiefs, those that are within my bubble, if you will.
Are you going to clean house?
No, absolutely not. We're not going to go after anyone.
Change.
I have told everybody that, you know, politics are politics. It's everyone's right to, it's constitutionally their right to vote as how they see and to express themselves politically. That I wish they all voted for me, and I know that's not going to happen. It's just, to me, there's another right here, and that's the right to like someone or dislike them. And I really wish everybody liked me, but that's not reality either. So what I'm going to go in there is with the attitude of, let's set an example and come in here and let me show you who I am and what I'm about and try to win you over those that don't like Chris Nanos or didn't support Chris Nanos. That's the attitude I want to present. Those that support me, great, that's good. But I'm really, I would like the last two elections, there's no doubt, you know this as well as anybody, were very contentious and very political.
No kidding.
And I would like to take that the department away from the politics. It's not fair to put those associations and those people in the middle of it by asking their endorsements and those kind. We all want their endorsements, but I shouldn't be the one to go and ask it. If they want to give it to me, fine. But if not, it is what it is.
Are we going to see some names coming back into leadership positions who have been there in the past?
Yes.
Like what?
I think currently Jesus Lopez is one of the chiefs. He'll still be there. There'll be two new people that will be promoted up within the organization. But my chief deputy will be Rick Castigar,
Rick's been a long time.
He'd been with that agency, I think, 40-some years.
So he was almost the right-hand person for Sheriff Dubnyk.
He was, in fact, before I became a chief. He was going to be, I thought everybody believed he was going to be Sheriff Dubnyk's second in command. Successor.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about Joe Cameron? Is he coming back?
Joe Cameron's there already.
Right, but is he going to be in a leadership position?
He will be in a leadership position, correct.
Oh, okay, so he's had some problems in the past.
Yes.
And was fired at one point and had some other issues. Why him?
Well, you know, I look at what the command that's there now, the lieutenants, captains, all of those individuals that are eligible to promote upward, and I look at he is one of them, he is one of the commanders, and I say to myself, you know, in 2015, 2016's election, I didn't realize it at the time, but I learned later that a number of my commanders around me, those chiefs that I had been surrounded with, I didn't select them, but I knew them. I thought they were there for to support me in my endeavors and help this department move forward. I found out that that wasn't the case. And so I've decided myself that if I'm going to do this job, then I'm going to select a team myself that I can trust these individuals to not be loyal to Chris Danos, but to be loyal to this department. They need to be in it for anything but themselves. I want people, and that's at all levels. I want my deputies, I want my sergeant, my lieutenants, my chiefs, my captains, I want them all to be there, not for their own personal gains, but for the purpose of serving this community and serving those that work with them.
But they don't have to take a loyalty oath to you.
No, absolutely not.
But it looks like absolutely we're kind of returning not. To kind of, you know, the way it was before, which you yourself told me 4 years ago, just before you were leaving office, that your one mistake was taking all of these people from Dupnik, and you should have just brought your own team in. And it sounds like we're just kind of getting these same names cropping up, kind of what Biden's doing, by the way. You know, he's bringing up these people from, you know, back when he was vice president and stuff. And but you must have confidence in
them.
Well,
Dan, you have to. You can't. I guess I could. I could go out and pick five complete strangers to the organization and bring them in. But that's not fair either, because there are a number of people in that agency, and I think Mark Sheriff Napier would agree, that are talented, that are skilled, that are loyal, that are hardworking, and deserve an opportunity, a chance to perform. To go outside the agency and come in with a whole new team, yes, I guess I probably have that right, but I don't think that that's the way to do it.
I mean, you could fire everybody and then hire your own team.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, then we're starting off with what? It's a good organization. I know that because I was there for 30-plus years.
Right.
They're good people. They will do a good job because they always have done a good job. I just need a team that surrounds me with the ability to know my direction, what I perceive this community wants from its law enforcement, and to push that forward.
I'm hearing that 10 of the department's top commanders are going to be retiring before January 1st. Have you heard that? And is that unusual when a new sheriff comes in? And are you concerned about it?
You know, well, naturally you're concerned because it creates a leadership vacuum, you know, and you've got to replace that. But you know what? People make their decisions on whatever information they have. If people leave, I guess I can't say nothing about that. Do I want them to stay? Well, why not? They put in a lot of time and energy with this organization and this community. So it really comes down to this. Is every time there's change, people leave. When Mark came in, when Sheriff Napier, he didn't have that issue because a lot of the leadership that was there around that, they wanted Mark. And he came into an organization where the department was hoping for some good positive change in direction. At that time, they felt like they had the right man. 4 years later, they've changed that position, and a number of the leaders that Mark took on are actually leaving because they, too, are not very well thought of by the rest of the department.
All right, Dan and Chris, let's take a break right here, and I got an easy real softball question for you now, Chris. We've got the Christmas holidays coming up. You and your lovely wife, what type of pie would you like? What type of pie would you like on your Christmas table and perhaps dinner rolls? I'm going, you know where I'm going, Mona's Danish Bakery is where I'm going with this. Go ahead.
Do I just get a choice of one? Or
no.
Are you set?
No, you could do a couple. I think Steve, the owner and chief baker, could take care of that.
If they have sugar in it, I'll take it all.
Yeah. What are you, though? Are you a traditional pumpkin pie man, or do you like the apple, or what?
you put it in front of me and I eat it.
It would be
doesn't matter what it is.
Whatever. I love whatever beanie, flavor. Sweet, you would probably eat the pie with some Alamode ice cream and the whole deal.
My wife hides so many. This is not a good time of year for
her. And probably whatever type of dinner roll, you'd have what they call the boarding house reach for for those table across the table to load up your plate with those. And Dan, I don't know if I've asked you this. Are you pecan?
Apple. Even though I live among 100,000 pecan trees, which
I
love.
Valley. Yeah. Anyway, where we're going with this is Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle, and they're taking orders right now for Christmas. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. They're open right now. Northeast Corner, Swan, and Sunrise. Chris, you'll have to get up there and and say hello to the people up there. They are home to the Danish Kringle, which, Dan, as you know, we've brought some into the station before. It's a luscious pastry and comes in a variety of flavors. We brought one in Thanksgiving week here to our scaled-down staff. It may be scaled down, but that Kringle was gone in like about 10 minutes. So
I think I've been on your show a few times, and the only thing I've gotten from you is water.
What's the story, Dale? Chris, you missed the Kringle anyway, and it was filled with a beautiful almond paste. You would have enjoyed a huge slice of that. Anyway, let's take the break. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, our live line courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Before we continue on with our conversation with Sheriff-elect Chris Nanos and Dan Scheer of Green Valley, I want to tell our listeners about something special that's coming up through our friends over at the two Vero Mori restaurants, and they also have Noble Hops. The company is Jam Culinary Concepts. They've been one of our legacy sponsors here since day one, and again, we're coming up on 10 years of the program. The anniversary show will be the first Monday in January. They're collecting food this month for the Community Food Bank. $5 off your meal when you bring in five cans for the food bank. Also, they got a gift card promotion I think is very generous. $100 will get you a $25 gift certificate. That's a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, everything associated with the holidays from our friends at Jam Culinary Concepts. All right, let's continue now with Chris Nanos. If I need a sheriff's deputy and I live up in the foothills, can I be pretty much assured that if I interact with one of your people, and they will be your department after January 1, they will be masked when they come to interact with me and the public?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we should be setting the example. I don't know that they're not. I would hope they are, but yes, absolutely, we should be setting the example.
What do you think, Dan?
I think the county's getting awful serious about masks. A week ago today, they had an emergency meeting, and they have mandated them in public, and law enforcement came up in at least one memo from County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. What do you see as the role of your deputies in enforcement regarding masks?
Well, you know, I think the way the policy's been written by the Board of Supervisors, the resolution they came up with was that this all will be done at very low key. The investigations will be handled through the health department. I support that. I think that's exactly where it should be. You know, my deputies are busy enough, but that doesn't mean we're just going to ignore problem areas. For example, I think we've all seen in the news where people are fighting over somebody having a mask or not having a mask, or we have a business owner who's calling the police because somebody won't wear a mask. Those kinds of confrontations, whether it's over a mask or over anything, we just can't allow that to happen. So yes, our deputies will enforce them if they're called to that area. We would hope that Supervisor Ramon Valadez has said that we would hope that there's no enforcement issues, that people would take it upon themselves to respectfully wear their mask or stay out of that business or that public place.
So you can see yourself being called to a store if a shopkeeper says, look, this person's in here and there's some trouble brewing, but you can't see possibly the deputies going out and writing citations.
Oh, no, I, you know, it's like anything else. We want to handle this at the lowest level possible. Sure. We want to be able to be reasonable with people and say, hey, I'm sorry, but there is a mandate and you need to be in the store. You've got to have a mask on. If not, the owner has the right to refuse your service.
What are you hearing about is a very serious outbreak of COVID-19 in the Pima County Jail?
Yeah, you know, that's a concern as well. So I don't have real numbers in front of me. Again, all of this is going to happen on the 1st, but I will say that we did hear that they had an outbreak in the kitchen, which is really concerning when you think of the kitchen that everybody in that jail is fed.
Yeah.
How far reaching it went, I do know it was reported to the health department. I hope that the county health doctor and the jail staff and the sheriff have done the right things and put quarantines in place and done the tracing and done all those things. But yeah, it definitely concerns. I mean, you don't have to look very far. Look at Wilmot and the federal facilities around us. The explosion that can have. And so, yeah, definitely a concern.
Dan, do you want to change topics here and get into reform issues, or was there something else on your plate concerning COVID-19?
No, actually, going to go in a third direction if I could.
Yeah.
Sheriff Napier, Sheriff Napier put together a citizen advisory committee about a year ago, and that's his way of tapping into the community. What's going to be your way?
Well, you know, along that same scenario of an advisory committee, I do think it's important that there are community boards that exist and that they have a say, have direct reach to the sheriff, particularly in today's world when we do talk of reform. In fact, actually, I know this is a third way to go, but it's really not. I think it is dealing with reform. So I've already been out. I've met with a number of community leaders from the various groups in our community. And I plan to. I think Mark's approach was to ask for citizens to volunteer, which is not a bad approach, and he got a number of those. But I plan to go out to the community leaders and speak to them directly and tap them on the shoulders and ask them to be a part of my community board. And come and sit with me and look at how we train and look at our practices and our policies and look at our use of force issues and officer involved shootings or anything else. I want to be not just an open book to them, but I want to be open ears to them. I want them to be able to feel like they can come and call me, talk to me, meet with me at any time.
Do you have ideas for these people?
Well, absolutely. I mean,
list,
you mean as far as who they
your
are?
Your lineup and stuff, and these are people that are from a wide range in the
from
community.
From the ecumenical society, ecumenical part of the community, to the LGBTQ, the black population, the Hispanic population, the Native American population. A lot of our groups, we're a very diverse county and diverse community, so I'd like to get as diversified as I could there.
Dan, before we go back to you, Ingrid has waited like 15 minutes on the line, and I've been negligent in getting to her. Sorry about that, Ingrid. Ingrid, you're with Chris Nanos, Pima County Sheriff-elect. Go ahead.
Okay. Earlier you were talking about replacing the personnel. On what basis can you do that? On what basis can you fire a government employee? Doesn't there have to be dereliction of duty? I don't understand that.
Oh, so Ingrid, just you kind of broke up there at the beginning. You're just wondering about the process, about could Chris Nanos come in and just fire everybody? So you're curious about that. Okay.
Ingrid, first of all, thank you for your call. No, absolutely could not just go in and fire people. That's not the county has a policies in place that direct us as to why someone could be fired or terminated. But no, I have no plans at all to go in and eliminate people or get them out of there. That's not that would set up a bad approach from my
morale.
Yeah, that's not how you want to start off. I want to go in there with a team of people who have the best interest of the department and this community.
Okay, Dan, now back to you.
We've all been watching over the past couple of weeks as Minneapolis voted to shift $8 million from its police budget, dumped 130 police jobs, even though they're in the midst of a spike in crime. Do you think that this was a Minneapolis problem that the council was trying to solve, or do you think it's a universal policing problem?
Wow. Clearly, Minneapolis themselves, as we've seen, has some problems, and so that's part of it. A universal, I will tell you this, it's hard to sit here and look across this nation, and I don't mean just recent incidents of the last few weeks or months, even the last few years, and not say there's a problem with the way we handle ourselves as police or even throughout the criminal justice system, our courts, our prosecutors, our defense, everything. And so, yeah, I think you need to look across the landscape and find ways to do things better. And if that means taking away things that I'm doing, some of the responsibilities that my young men and women are doing, and giving them to somebody who's better equipped at doing, then do that. If that better serves us, what law enforcement, what leader of any kind would step up and say, no, don't take my money. What I'm against is, don't take money from me and leave me the problems. if you want to take those problems that I believe shouldn't be in our hands, please take them and take the funding needed from me to deal with those issues. But don't cut me short either.
We've only got about 2 or 3 minutes, Dan. Did you want to get to police reform?
No, I think that was a good answer. I do you see anything specific, though, in Pima County that we know Minneapolis had problems? Yeah. It was worn out. But anything that you would like to see changed?
I started the MIST team, our mental mm-hmm. health team, and I think it's a very valuable group of young men and women. But I don't know that that's the best way for our community to deal with those who suffer from mental illness or mental abuses or even drug abuse. I think there's better ways. So, I would like to see us, and I'm learning it. I'm really am just kind of taking in all this. There's a number of programs that I've learned from that are going on in the county to address these issues. And so I hope to be a part of those and be there to help move those forward.
I do believe that Sheriff Napier actually this summer launched something along those lines, and he's recruiting mental health experts, people with expertise in that area, to tend to take some of the burden off of the deputies. Is this something, maybe not that particular program, right, but is this something you'd continue?
Absolutely. I'll pursue it, that's for sure. I think his approach is different than mine, not that it's wrong or anything, he just said it was different, and I'm going to be looking at some other areas of the country that have done things similar to this, where the law enforcement's not being the one responding to all these mental illness situations that we do have. The mental health practitioners, those professionals, respond. And so it's just a matter of getting the logistics down and where they who actually handles them. I personally believe it should be under the Department of Health, not necessarily under the police department.
And we all wish Sheriff Napier the very best.
Yes.
He has accepted a new position. He's landed on his feet. He'll be over in Cochise County. He'll be the chief over there, so number two man in Cochise County. And I know, Chris, you wish him well as well.
You know, actually, but yes, if I may,
sure.
There is no doubt the last two elections were very contentious.
Oh,
Mark
yeah.
and I definitely butt heads on a number of issues.
But you're still part of the law enforcement fraternity.
Absolutely. Let me say this. I don't think I've met a cop who's a bad human being, and Mark is a good human being. His heart is in the right place. I think his ideas were his ideas, just as mine are mine. I do wish him well and his family well.
Do you have any closing thoughts?
Is there going to be a swearing-in ceremony?
No, especially with COVID-19.
Should we do that right now?
We can handle it.
We can do that here, yeah. Sure.
We know you're going to be sworn at, but we just want to know if you're going to be sworn
I'm
in.
I'm captain of a ship, I think, here I can also swear someone. Anyway, best of luck to you. We'll be
Thank you so much, obviously, as you
settle into your new position after New Year's Day. Chris Nanos, Pima County Sheriff-elect. All the best to you.
Thank you.
All right, Dan is going to stick around. I've got a few items for Dan. I'm just curious about Dan's top story of the year. I'm sure it's something COVID-19 related. It's got to be.
Absolutely.
Well, I don't say it's got to be. You could come up with something else, but we're going to talk with Dan in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks. A modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our thanks to Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, our sponsor when we have folks on our live line. Did not have live line interviews today, which is kind of nice. We had a whole show is, well, we will have a live line. We'll have Matt Russell coming up, but everything's in studio, and in studio, including Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan, what was your top story of the year?
I think the top story is going to kind of be a theme, and that is that despite awful circumstances of the past year, none of that slowed down growth in our area. And so we opened up a new hospital in Sarita a few weeks ago, a tech center, still looking for some tenants for that. We have a new library going up. We have the largest pickleball center in Southern Arizona in Green Valley that opened up earlier this year. We've got other shops that have come in. Some of them are chain fast food or things like that. But every time someone builds in your community, it means they have confidence in it. And so despite all that was going on, and COVID, of course, is the story, but despite that, we have seen an awful lot of growth in our area. And it's been really encouraging.
A lot of housing stories here in this area. Real estate's off the charts.
Hundreds of houses going up literally in my backyard pretty much. And so we are seeing a lot of that. So people still have confidence in the economy, and it was a rough election. And I'm just read a report this morning saying, yeah, over the next 6 months, the stock market's actually supposed to do very, very well. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that stuff, the daily blips depend on, you know, what the president might say. But long term, those things generally don't depend on those day-to-day happenings in the White House. So someone has said, you know, and from what I read, yeah, I think we can believe it. The stock market should be pretty strong in the next 6 months.
Now, as the editor of the paper of record in an elderly community, your readership is just probably wondering, where do I go to get the shot?
That is one of the...
It's got to be right now the top.
Absolutely. That's the top phone call, as we say.
And where do I get it? I want it now.
Absolutely. And we've looked at, the county's... action plan for getting out the vaccinations and the state's draft plan, and we have them posted on our sites. And right now they're a little wiggly because people aren't quite sure what they're going to get. And again, one of them has to be stored at 70 degrees below zero and all of this type of stuff. They're trying to figure out the logistics of that. But we are making regular phone calls to get that question answered. And I would say that a lot of people in our community will be really close to first in line.
Do you think it will be through your traditional Walgreens, CVS, or will it be like clinics?
Well, we have a couple of hospitals down there now, okay, which is nice. But I can see it being through the clinics. I can see it being through UCHC, the health clinic, which has several sites in our area. Anywhere you can have trained people who can just start popping needles into arms, I think we'll see it.
Dan, one of the big stories, I believe, statewide is this rift in the Republican Party.
Yeah, when the Republicans decided that Kelly Ward, who was, had run for a couple of offices, was going to be in that position, I knew that number one, was going to be trouble, quite honestly, just being blunt, and number two, that she is not a typical Republican, but a lot of people would say that those who are leading the Republican Party today are not typical Republicans. They're really kind of off the charts to the right, and some would say those leading the Democrats are off the charts to the left, and I think both would have good arguments, which is probably why one-third of Arizonans are independents. They're not belonging to either party, but Kelly Ward has definitely introduced a lot of animosity, and she's just mean-spirited, quite honestly, just not a nice person, if I can just say that.
Told the governor to shut up.
Yeah, and you remember back before John McCain died, she was fishing to get his job through some comments she made in a radio program, I think in Indiana, basically saying, he's kind of done for. Why don't you look at me? And that was just so lowbrow that it really took a lot of people back. And then I'm wondering, so how come you put her in the top position for the Republicans? And and then they did not have a good election year.
And now you got Brnovich, the Arizona Attorney General, still not giving up on Trump. And he's positioning himself to grab that large, sizable Trump wing of the Republican Party in his run for governor in 2 years.
Oh, absolutely. And he's been running for that.
So he wants that job.
He's been running for that position for several years. And he, of course, added his name to the 17 other attorneys general who are saying, hey, let's get something done here. But if you read the brief, and I did, that he submitted, basically what he's saying is, let's just get some closure on this. So he almost wasn't calling for a certain type of outcome or anything. He was saying, look, we just need to get this done for the nation. Clearly, he was doing it just to play to the base. But if you read what he turned in there, it really had no teeth whatsoever.
Yeah. Another big story that to keep an eye on, all the change in leadership. We just had one of the new leaders with us here in studio. There'll be a lot of new people, a newly constituted board, Pima County Board of Supervisors.
Yes.
You got some new members there. So that's going to be a big story.
Hey, everything from county recorder to, again, as you say, some supervisors. And, some people say, new names, but same old direction for Pima County. And we'll see how that plays out. New sheriff, lots of different things. And then we have the contract coming up very soon for Chuck Huckleberry.
Oh, yeah.
Who's been in with the county for, 40 years or so. And will that change things if he decides that he is either going to not re-up or maybe just for a real short time and transition somebody else in there? That could also mean a new direction for Pima County.
I think that comes up in January.
Correct.
Yeah. Gut feeling, he sticks around.
My gut feeling is he sticks around, but he's going to make it clear he's leaving and maybe even give a date.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So...
Obviously, we'll be watching how the whole rollout of the vaccine will go. That will be a very big story. Anything else that you see as kind of something we should keep our eye on for 2021?
Well, we had some public meetings down in our area, and then, of course, they were done by Zoom, and they're looking at what's called the Sonoran Corridor, which would link I-19 with I-10, take it right through the middle of Sarita. Now, there's no money for the second-tier study that's supposed to come next, but this is something that would change the whole complexion of southern Arizona, make it easier for truckers who are, say, heading to Texas to jump onto I-10 and skip the Tucson area. But what is it going to do to the town of Sarita, which has signed off on this? But it's something kind of long-term to watch that right now people think it's so far in the future, they're not really paying a lot of attention to it. It would completely change how everything looks down there. So it's one of those boring but important stories. Better be paying attention to it.
Online has just gone crazy for the media here, and I'm sure your paper has had a huge jump in that. It's going to be interesting to see how WIC, your home team, kind of adjusts to this as we come out of 2021, a transition year, and I'm sure some of your 24 WIC papers are more into the online than others.
Right, and we just introduced our own social media site earlier this year. It's called Neighbor, N-A-B-U-R. Just started it at a fourth site in WIC, and it's going to be introduced at a fifth. We are one of them, and it's kind of like Nextdoor.com, and people have really glommed onto it. And I think in part because this past year has made them a lot more comfortable with going onto Zoom and doing other things that maybe they wouldn't have done before because they didn't have to. But now, even our older population is getting much more comfortable with that tablet or that phone, and it's really good to see. But yes, it means more transition and quicker transition for the newspaper industry.
Only a quick final comment. I think with COVID, a lot of your hometown small papers that WIC is associated with, people are seeing the value of having a hometown paper in this crisis time.
Absolutely. And, you know, Bill, it still stuns me how many people might get a weekly or twice weekly paper, and they still wait for that to come out to get all of this news, even some breaking stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you should be going online for that.
Right.
But they rely on that, and we have seen that in spades this past year.
All right, Dan Scheer, thank you so much for your service.
Thank you.
To the program, I very much appreciate it as we come up on our 10-year anniversary for the Buckmaster Radio Show. All right, we'll be back now with Matt Russell with our Weekend Watch. Matt from Inside Tucson Business right after this.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Time to stir it up, baby. It's Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Weekend Watch presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a great sponsor they've been over our 10-year history of the radio show. They are just so waiting with open arms when it is safe to welcome Southern Arizonans back to a beautiful area of the land of enchantment. Please go to southwestnewmexico.org. Start your planning right now. Things are going to get better in 2021. The 3-hour road trip will be like, hey, let's get in the car and do something. Anyway, at southwestnewmexico.org, you will see a full listing of great places to stay and wonderful things to do. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch, the president and CEO of the award-winning Russell Public Communications, Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, and really a man who has given wonderful service to our 10 years of this program, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great. It has been a pleasure to serve the Buckmaster audience for these many years. And if it's about food and beverage, you can count on me, sir.
Matt, any virtual cooking classes going on? I get it that we can't all gather for the kind of the in-person, but can we do it virtually?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when I was in Greece last fall, you might remember that I sampled baklava at virtually every stop the Greek Isles.
Yep.
You know, every crunchy bite reminded me of the delicate process of making these confections. Well, the secret is out, and the Flying Aprons Cooking School is going to be hosting an online class today at 5:30 to demonstrate how to make baklava at home, step by step, layer by layer. You're going to learn from a Greek pastry master about this delicious combination of phyllo and nuts and honey. You're going to be a hit in your neighborhood. Just go to the Flying Aprons Facebook page, and you'll see all the event information and registration.
Another Weekend Watch, another restaurant opening, a courageous opening in these hard times.
For sure, another new restaurant opening to report, but the owners are certainly not new to the local Tucson food scene. The team from Contigo at La Paloma, who have brought us Latin-inspired cuisine, they've just opened up their second restaurant, and it's all about Italia. You know, it's called Locale, Neighborhood Italian. It's in the space on Alvernon near Broadway that for years was the old Pueblo Grill. We all remember that. Now, this is a farmhouse-style trattoria right in the heart of Tucson, mixing old Italian classics with local products. I personally have my eye on the 7-layer lasagna, and I wonder, like, 6 layers isn't enough? You know, throw a wine bar and a bakery into the mix, and you'll be transporting your palace to Piedmonte in no time. I might give Locale a try this weekend.
Yeah, speaking of wine, it's time to mix and match, my friend.
Tis the season for wine lovers. Postino Wine Cafe on Grant and Tucson Boulevard has just launched their holiday wine packs to make every sipping during the season a bright one. You can build your own 2-bottle pack for $30 or a 4-bottle pack for $55. and you've got four varietals to choose from, and you can mix and match, as you said, to try a few. So whether you're the hostess with the mostest, a seasoned chef, or the gift-giving champ that puts everyone else to shame, there's a wine pack for you. Check out Postino this weekend and start your shopping for the wine lovers in your life. But, of course, keep a pack for yourself. Duh.
Matt Russell, always a pleasure. Have yourself a very safe and wonderful weekend. Thank you, buddy.
Right back at you, Bill. Thanks.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music composed by my German friend, Christophan. Thanks to assistant Rosemary Brandt, everyone here at KVOI, including my engineer and producer, Tom Fairbanks, the entire team here at Bustos Media in Tucson, all of us. Wish you, we got the same wish for you. Have a safe and pleasant weekend.